You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with two practice owners who have successfully created family-friendly cultures in their practices, Drs. Laura Jeffsikas and Tegan Easton, to learn how they accomplished this, and there are recommendations for others that wish to bring about this cultural shift. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2024 by Care Credit. Dr. Laura Jeffsikas grew up outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where she enjoyed riding hunters and jumpers. She received a bachelor's degree in biology from Cornell University and her VMD from the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine. After a one-year internship at Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky, she completed a three-year residency in equine internal medicine at the University of Florida, and became board certified by the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine. Following her residency, she stayed on at the University of Florida as a member of the faculty until 2009, when she moved to Saratoga Springs, where she provided in-hospital internal medicine services and general ambulatory care until joining Rhinebeck Equine in 2013. Dr. Jeffsikas is Rhinebeck Equine's managing partner, internship coordinator, and chief internist. She serves on the board of the Zweig Committee for Equine Research and previously served on the Scientific Review and Education Committee of the AAEP. She and her husband have two sons. Dr. Tegan Easton was raised in Humble, Texas, and received her Master's of Veterinary Medicine with a focus in equine reproduction, as well as her Doctor of Veterinary Medicine from the Texas A&M University College of Veterinary Medicine. Dr. Easton completed an internship at Pioneer Equine in Oakdale, California, where she then stayed on as an associate until 2011. In 2017, Dr. Easton opened Phoenix Equine Veterinary Services in Arizona, focusing on sports medicine, reproduction, and general health practice, including advanced dentistry. She is also certified in veterinary chiropractic. Dr. Easton is a current AAEP board member and has also served on several committees in the organization. She is family-oriented and enjoys watching her three children as they grow into equestrians and agriculturally-minded young people. Welcome, Drs. Jeffsikas and Easton. It's so great to have you today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so glad to have you. As our industry's gender has shifted to a majority of equine veterinarians being female, it seems like having a family-friendly culture matters more than ever. And you guys have really done amazing things with creating family-friendly cultures in your practices. But to start, how would you even define a family-friendly culture? I think it's kind of like pornography. You know it when you see it or feel it, right? But what does it look like? What does it feel like? Dr. Jeffsikas?
Yeah, I actually find it a bit challenging to define because, as you said, I think you sort of know it when you see it, but it's hard to put it into words. But I think for me and for us here at Rhinebeck Equine, really the word that kept coming to mind is flexibility. And I think having a culture that accepts that people will need some flexibility for the many unpredictable and even predictable things that will come up when dealing with children. And I think also what I've come to realize is it's not just those of us that have children or young children, but also those of us who are experiencing the sandwich generation and who are dealing with aging parents as well. And so I think having a culture where it is acceptable to sometimes need to prioritize those things over your having a very set schedule on a day-to-day basis really is where, at least for me, that's where everything kind of has to start.
I love how you chose one word, and that one, you know, like flexibility. Dr. Easton, when you think about a family-friendly culture, what word comes to mind and how would you define it?
It's funny enough, that was my exact word that I was planning. The flexibility is so critical, whether that is a different start time or understanding that we have kids to pick up or family members to accommodate, regardless of the age. You know, flexibility is really key in my life, especially. And so the women that I've worked with, had the pleasure working with, it's the same thing, just being able to understand that and exactly from 8 to 5 doesn't typically work for a family oriented practice. And it also means being okay that you might have an additional assistant that's a minor in your truck. And I think developing an atmosphere and even within our clients and having that understanding. So flexibility in all aspects, whether it's the practice owner, your clients, the staff, knowing that, you know, things can change at a moment notice, not just based on emergencies, but family needs and such. So flexibility is definitely the, I think, the most critical part and the primary part of what when it comes to being family oriented in a practice.
I have to say, I think you both are spot on. Absolutely. You know, both of you had experiences in veterinary medicine along the way before you started your own families. And what did you feel like was the biggest barrier to having a family-friendly culture in your experiences? And then how did you like move past that when you were had your own ability to kind of shape things? Dr. Easton, how was that for you?
Yeah. If I'm going to be really frank, yeah, it's definitely the practice owners that I was with and I don't know if it was just me, cause I perceived it that it was going to be that way. And then after discussing with it, I feel like there's a lot more, even older generations that are understanding and willing to make that flexibility. But truly, I think the root of it is clients and whether we're perceiving that or having that change and then us not being available for them. And they probably, clients have been the hardest. I think when I look to how I'm going to practice and having them understand that I need to have that flexibility, and that might mean that I might not make it during the barn hours, but I can try to, I have a completely supportive spouse that we work as a team, even at home. And that's been critical, and having that support system there. And I'm lucky to have a husband that understands that, because he's been in the horse industry prior to us having children and knowing veterinarians. The adjustment is just first realizing that I can do this, and people were a lot more understanding. So if I really think about it, it was probably my own mental block. I think most people are really understanding and know those kinds of changes and the necessity and just how the family dynamic and also equine practice is changing. Clients see that and feel it, and they've been a lot more welcoming than I thought. So once I got past my own barrier, I was okay. Just one instance, my husband, unbeknownst to me, got me a personalized license plate. And we only had 2 children. We currently have 3, but a license plate on my work vehicle, because we moved to a different state, and he thought I would just love it. And it said DVM Mom. And to be honest, I was upset with him initially, because I was like, I have to battle so many things, and coming in as a female and a male dominated profession, and these trainers think that my focus is going to be on my children and not my job and being professional. I was really, and then hindsight after that and self-reflection, I just realized that my priorities are both, but my children will come first. And if I'm going to have clients that aren't going to approve of that or see me differently for it, that's not the kind of clients that I need. If they're not going to respect and treat me with that same courtesy. So, so like a lot of the hurdles, I think, were me mentally thinking that I wasn't going to be able to practice and do those kinds of things because of client perception, boss perception, those kinds of things. So I might have been my biggest hurdle.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
You know, it's interesting how you said that you want to make sure that you attract the kind of clients that want who you are. Yeah. And that's all a part of being authentically, okay, you are a DVM mom. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because now that you're out there being that authentic person, the people that you attract to you are people that appreciate that, value that, that sort of thing. Yep. How was it for you, Dr. Jevsikas?
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything Dr. Easton said. And I think it often is the barriers in our head as very hardwired, generally type A individuals who also, I think many of us derive so much satisfaction from that client relationship. And it is really hard not to feel like you're letting them down. And so I think that the perceived expectations of clients and also bosses, coworkers, et cetera, I had what is not a unique challenge, but it was particularly hard for me as the only internal medicine specialist and feeling like I needed to try to prove the worth of an internal medicine specialist in general to then be able to say, oh, I actually, you do need me all the time, but I can't be here all the time. So that is honestly still a challenge that I have, but I think having a really supportive team of like-minded people around is really the most important thing to support our veterinarians and support staff, as they do have families.
Yeah. And, you know, things really, as time has gone on, the decades keep rolling by, you know, back in the day, when most veterinarians were men, they had a team at home too, taking care of all the things.
Yeah.
And so as women became more of the majority, it doesn't mean that they had another team at home. And so for both members, both the wives and the husbands, both of whom were working, it became harder for everybody. But, you know, I think the whole cultural change of just realizing that there isn't anybody at home to pick up the kids at school, or to take the dry cleaning to the dry cleaner, or to drop the car off to get, you know, like, yeah, it just made everything so much harder. So Dr. Jevsikas, can you think of, you know, other than flexibility, are there other elements of a family-friendly culture that are important? And, you know, I feel like you mentioned earlier about the people that don't have kids and how important it is for them to feel like they matter too, because maybe they have elderly parents or they, whatever it is, so that everybody's sort of on equal footing.
Yeah, I think for us, it's been really important to try to find a system where people feel like they can set some boundaries and still fulfill their clients' needs and therefore have their needs fulfilled as a veterinarian as well. For us, that really comes from having a group practice where call is shared and people are very used to sharing cases, going back and forth on the same case and communicating well about those cases and the clients as well, because I think so much of what we do is about the clients as much as the patients. So I think that is, that has really helped. And, you know, we have some veterinarians who don't have children, don't plan to have children, but they still really value their time off. And I always want to treat everyone with that same, give everyone the same options of, if you need to be done at 4 p.m. on Wednesday because you have your, you know, hip hop class or whatever the case may be, you know, you should be able to set some boundaries for yourself and know that the patient's needs will be and taken care of during that time frame. And so I think having, creating a culture like that is what allows people to then feel like they can be gone for a longer period of time for maternity leave and not have everything fall apart, and know that they will come back to still having clients that are very happy to see them, but we're also okay with them being gone. And yes, things may change a bit, but in the long run, you know, I thought it was going to be a huge deal to be out on maternity leave, and really you realize that's just a very small portion of your life as a parent. So it's the years after that are much larger portion to try to navigate. So I think for us, having a group practice where we try to support each other and can, it's not a huge problem if somebody needs to come in late at the last minute because they have another snow delay, as we deal with all the time, or their parent's caretaker doesn't show up on time, or, you know, whatever the case may be, that there's enough swapping off of responsibilities that people feel like it all ends up working out in the end, and no one's getting kind of the short end of the stick.
It sounds like, you know, just that team approach where everybody has each other's backs is something that you've been able to accomplish, and that everybody feels it, which is what makes it work, because everybody's needs are, you know, are different.
Yeah.
Even when they have kids or, you know, elderly parents or whatever, you just don't know. Sometimes it's that their dog has to go to the vet or right. Something's happening. Yeah. So Dr. Easton, you don't have snow days in Arizona. I'm sure you share some of those same challenges.
Absolutely. So I know it's not snow, but it gets so miserably hot and difficult to work in the summertime here. So a lot of veterinarians will start early so they can get done early. Well, what that meant for me in my practice, it felt like I'd start earlier and that ended up, we would just work more. And just because, you know, that just didn't. So I actually gravitated back to, even in the middle of summer, starting at the same time, just so we weren't, you know, because as veterinarians, you want to help and you want to be there. So emergencies, we have tons of heat stroke and tons of colic against that, and tons of things that happen because of the heat. I just knew that I was just adding more hours to my day, to my staff's day, to the other associates. And so I guess, like, with flexibility, just making those and changes it, because I feel like personal time is critical, right? It's not only just because you need to have some decompression from work, but you also want to be present with the people you love and the activities you love. And the other thing I'd say is that I make it very well known that I have activities outside of work, that this isn't my life, and that I value that everybody else have their things, whether it's riding. I do a lot of mountain biking. I love hot yoga. I have forced my staff so to come and join me in that. And I think just to share in those experiences and also welcome their family and friends and their partners into work activities and incorporate them so everybody can see that we have lives outside of work. So I try to incorporate that into our practice so we can all realize that there's a lot more to us than just the professions and the careers that we've chosen.
All right. So now I'm intrigued about the hot yoga. So do you go out on the patio in the summer and do yoga under the sunshine?
could, but the sun in the summertime here feels like it literally is blistering your skin. So it's a steam room. So the temperature is pretty hot, but then they also add humidity, which we don't have here. So you're literally dripping sweat from your nose.
You could just go to Rhinebeck in August and do that. So what about like parental leave, maternity leave or paternity leave? Dr. Easton, like, how did you handle that in your practice?
Yeah. So funny enough, the women that I've had work with me have either not had children or we had already had our children. And so personally, I have not had to deal with, because I have some young associates in the future, trying to be able to like financially accommodate that and prepare them. It's not that we've talked about it. I'm totally prepared, but some things that I've discussed with my financial advisor is maybe doing some short-term investment accounts that I would do a matching program if they wanted to do that instead of the 401k to kind of prep for that. However, nobody's taken me up on it. But I'd love to hear some other ideas on how to prepare, especially a small practice like mine, to be able to financially have some compensation. Because when I was on maternity leave, with all three of my children, I was working for someone else. And granted, I did have maternity leave, but there was no financial compensation. And I know that just made a little bit of a hardship for us. And so I prepared for it personally, my husband and I. But that's something that I would be interested in providing and have as an option as far as, matching programs in preparation for that short-term investment accounts. But I'd be curious to see how others or smaller practices handle that.
How about you guys, Dr. Jeffsikas?
Yes. So we've changed in the last few years. When I was on leave, I also had no financial compensation apart from what came from the state. However, New York State does actually have a different system now that we pay into as employers, the New York Paid Family Leave Benefit, it's called officially, which does cover a portion of an employee's salary during their leave. And so what we decided to do is basically build on that. And so we do offer 6 weeks paid bonding leave now to all our employees. We have actually not yet had a lot of people take advantage of it, but I do think that it's really important from an attraction and retention standpoint with younger associates. So I'm pretty happy about being able to offer that. And then they are able to take additional leave unpaid if they opt to do that as well. So I wish that it could be more generous, but I do think that easing that financial burden a bit can be very helpful.
I would agree. And I'm sure Dr. Easton remembers this with the commission, the AAEP Commission Compensation Committee survey. We only had 11% of practices that offered any paid maternity or parental leave kind of help for people. And I do think, Dr. Jeffsikas, that you're onto it when, as far as attraction and retention. One of the things that I could think about would be, especially if you don't have anybody like chomping at the bit right now to take that leave, would be, since interest rates are so high right now, would simply be to put some money in a high yield savings account and just kind of commit yourself to, putting a little money there every year. And then when you and it's growing for you, I like your investment idea, Dr. Easton, because I think if practice is simply committed to, when this happens, I want to have a little pool of money. And when you think about what amount 6 weeks of base salary is, it's not huge.
No.
It's not
the huge. Other thing, we do also offer plans through AFLAC for short-term disability. But of course you have to sign up for that. I believe it's 10 months in advance. So you really have to be planning on getting pregnant and get pregnant in a time frame that makes sense for that to work, which as someone who underwent all of the infertility treatments, that was not on the table for me. But that is something that I know a lot of people do take advantage of.
Yeah, it has a lot of benefits beyond that too. So, you know, when people take advantage of the AFLAC, I think it, you know, that's sort of the side gig that's good. Is there anything else that you would like to share or think we should be sharing with our listeners today, Dr. Javsikas?
Maybe just one specific thing we have done with our ambulatory doctors that has really helped with allowing people to have some boundaries and better plan their schedules ahead of time to allow for the need to come in late or leave at a specific time for childcare purposes is that we have an assigned on-call doctor during the day as well as after hours. And that's really helped a lot because it allows all of the other doctors to plan their day a bit better and not have as many unexpected wrinkles. I mean, certainly it still happens. It's the nature of what we do, but at least they can have a bit more control over when their day starts and stops, or if they need to leave in the middle of the day. It does allow them to plan that a bit better. So that's been something that we changed that has been really beneficial for all. And again, just, you know, for everyone to have those boundaries, even if they're not kid or family related at all. But it's certainly very important for those of us who need to pick up children at a certain time or be home to meet the bus and all those sorts of things.
Well, it's a wonderful idea because I can remember, you know, just looking forward all day on a beautiful day, a day like today, beautiful, where I was going to go get on my horse because I wasn't on call. And, right. You know, damn it. It would be, something would happen and it would be far away. And then I'd be mad. And I would just, you know, you start eating yourself up with that. So, yeah, I love that idea. Dr. Easton, do you have any other advice for people?
I mean, we're a smaller group, but we do co-ops. And so I know that I'm only on call one day a week and one weekend a month. And we just did our 6-month planning. So we're scheduled out through July. Like 75% of us are working moms. And so we're pretty flexible and understand that that changes. But it's nice to be able to have a co-op that we can work with and have that like expected on call. That does make a big difference. And then we also make a little more, I mean, it's a little different because we're a smaller practice, but we also set those expectations that we provide a service for our established clients. And we define that even through both of the practices, the two practices that are in our co-op. And it truly, if they're not an established client, it's up to the prerogative of the veterinarian on call, which a lot of us end up going anyways. But we also really try to, even in our younger veterinarians, just we have a circumference, a call radius. If people want to haul in, that's fine because we do have that ability. But truly, you know, if they want to grow their clientele, it truly is up to their prerogative. But our expectations are that they're established clients and they're within our call radius, they can haul in so that they don't feel like they're obligated to address everything that comes in. I mean, most of the stuff we see we are in training barns. So those calls are usually fairly early in the day and we can address them or even triage them if needed. And we do have the luxury that there are tons of referral hospitals around us. So that makes it a little easier. So I understand those kinds of situations, but just having those parameters set and kind of everybody's completely clear on what the expectations are, that also helps. And I think it gives some, what's the word I'm looking for? Allows the individual veterinarian to, you know, have that standard of what is expected and that, you know, we're a team and we always will help out also if they need anything. So if they need help, we're always here and we're really flexible with each other knowing that. So that's a nice thing to have in our group.
And I love that you have provided each doctor with choice. because having choice really makes everything better. It's when you don't have any choices and there's just this heavy expectation that it becomes a heavy load to carry. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today, Dr. Jevsikas, Dr. Easton. It's wonderful to have had you. And thank you all for listening to the Business of Practice podcast. And a great big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave and embrace change.